Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 469. I am Chris, not joined by Tony. He is off doing something, but Earl is with us.
Woo!
And Jeff is here as well.
Not slacking off.
No, not slacking off. We got some games to talk about.
A little bit.
Yeah, a few. Before we started this, we were kind of talking about going off to PAX East, which I guess they announced the actual dates for that. It's February 27th through March 1st.
Yes, 4 days. What they don't sneak in there is it is a leap year this year. So
yes, so it's a Thursday to a Sunday. I think it's I think the 29th is a Saturday. So
wait, so is that? Am I mistaken, or is that PAX West that tends to be Friday through Monday?
That's PAX West. That's okay. What used to be PAX Prime. Yeah. Yep. So this could, for some whatever reason, goes Thursday the 27th through March 1st, which is a Sunday. And Tony has joined us. I will be there. I believe Tony was planning on going. Maybe sure. You two will be there as well.
Well, I always want to go back to PAX Prime, PAX East, I'm sorry. Because, to back up the story, part of the reason we were talking about this beforehand is they did announce the date. But it's also the start of New York Comic Con this weekend, and I will be there Friday and Saturday. And I think Peter's there now.
Yes.
Which is why he's not joining us. And I was
is
going
that why he's not joining us?
Well, yes, I mean...
That's why he's saying he's not joining us this week.
You know, we should have a Pete tracker and just like kind of denote like why like make up reasons why he's not joining us every week.
He always responds like, "No, I won't be there this week. I'm working. Like, I won't be there this week. I'm in New York."
And I will also say, being in New York does not prevent you from being on this podcast. I've proven that time and time again.
That's true.
Maybe you're just more skilled at being in New York than he is.
Maybe. I can tell you from experience, we have Wi-Fi, we have internet connections, cell phones tend to work, so, you know, we're not like a middle of nowhere city. There's technology here. You can do stuff with it. It's actually even improved in the Javits Center now where I can actually talk. I remember the first time I went to New York Comic Con 7 years ago now. Wow, time flies. Because the building was so old and cell phones, which is still odd to say 10 years ago, but it was just like because of the mass amount of people there, the network was never built for it, so you would not get service at all. And this was like the first 2 or 3 years I went. I'd always make plans to meet up with people and say hi, and then you'd send them text messages, and nothing would go through. Then you leave the building, and like 10 minutes later, you just get like a bunch of prompts from people responding to you and stuff like that. And that was how you exchanged information back in the days. Now it's much more reliable. They have free Wi-Fi, I think, throughout the building. But to get back to the point I was making, I went on this really odd tangent because I was going through all the different lanyards I have. I like to collect the ones I have. And the one and only time I went to PAX East was 3 years ago in 2016, and I do want to go back. And this is away from everything else this year. There's no Easter, there's no WrestleMania, there's no Endgame, there's no birthday weekend from that. Well, I'm going away for my birthday, but it's not this weekend, so it's all gravy.
Yeah, it's a nice time. For the last few years, it's been like right over my daughter's birthday, so it's like I don't want to go to Boston. Hopefully we'll all be able to make it there. I am planning on attending. I should note that Jeff died and he fell off the call. So,
oh no, rest in peace, Jeff.
Yeah. Bless you. He hasn't texted me back, so it does seem like where you know Earl has internet in New York, Jeff does not in Chicago. Illinois. So He's in like the sticks of Illinois, though. He's like an hour outside of Chicago. So who knows what's going on out there? They might not have cell towers anymore.
It's true. It's Chicago. It's so far into.
Yeah, he's already complaining about how cold it is and how much he's working. So
should move to the sticks.
He's probably the only person complaining about how cold it is this week. It was 92 degrees here yesterday.
Yeah. Did you get the temperature drop though today?
Oh yeah, it's like 50 and rainy. It's quite the whiplash.
Tony, did you get that too? We're all kind of like on the East Coast.
Definitely.
It's like, what the hell is going on? It was 60 degrees on Monday, 90 degrees on Wednesday, 60 degrees again on Thursday.
Yeah, it was so funny. I don't know if you saw this. I posted a picture on Twitter yesterday because I have like my Google phone does it gives you the weather for the next day. And it just, as a point of reference, it gives you a reference to, like, oh, you know, it's going to be X number of degrees colder or warmer than it was yesterday. And it's like, oh, it's going to be 32 degrees colder than it was today. I'm like, that is a pretty big drop.
Yep. That's not normal.
No.
Oh, like, but go ahead, Earl.
Everybody else seems to be okay with it because they want their fall weather. I'm okay with fall weather. It's just that, like, stick to the fall weather or don't, or ease into it. Like, this whole, like, it's summer. Nope, it's fall. And, like, the span of, like, 8 hours is just bizarre.
Yeah, it's like, look, I want the fall weather just as much as everybody else, but, like, it needs to be gradual. You can't just be like, all right, and now we're done with fall. We're done with summer.
Fall's over.
It's fall now. And now we're done with fall again. It's summer again. What the fuck is going on? We're not the weather channel, so
we're not. Can we be?
Sure. What's going on in Alaska, Tony?
I don't know Alaska.
So I mean, since we're going to talk about, where are you off to, or where are you packing? Or is this a kind of alibi type deal?
I'm taking a packing break. Yeah, no, I've done my laundry. I've packed a lot of stuff.
Where are you going? Vegas?
I'm going to Las Vegas. Yeah, again.
When do you leave?
When do I leave?
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay. I guess I feel like I'm always in the minority when it comes to packing because I am the type of person who would be packed at the start of the week. I hate ass when it packing; it just stresses me out.
What do you wear during the? Like, I don't have that many clothes. Like, if I packed all my stuff on Monday,
okay.
I wouldn't have anything to wear to work.
I don't think we've ever discussed my terrible tendency of buying clothes on this podcast. So, I could probably pack for a month off and still have enough clothes to wear to work and social engagements without repeating outfits. And this means everything: socks, boxers, t-shirts, dress shirts. It's the running joke between my friends. It's like every so often I'm like, I need to prune my wardrobe, and I never do. Because I ask this question to a lot of people. I always like ask them like how many pair of pants they have. And like most people, like, especially with jeans, I ask people, most people have like two or three pair of jeans, which I don't get. Okay. How many pair of jeans do you two have?
Two. Yeah. Why do I need more than two? I don't understand.
I have two that fit.
I can only wear one pair of pants at a time. How many do I need?
All right, Earl. Let's reverse this. Since Tony and I both only have two, how many pairs of jeans do you have?
The last count I had, I want to say, was 14.
Wow. That's two full weeks.
Yeah. And the irony of it, of course, is that I work in a somewhat professional setting. So I don't actually wear jeans daily. I mostly wear jeans on the weekends. Yeah, I also have a number of dress pants, which is not as many as my jeans, but it is sometimes a bit ridiculous because I've shown my friends this picture before. I have 4 different shades of khaki pants, for example.
That's understandable, though.
But khaki's kind of a similar color, and I'm sure I'm probably the only person who would notice one's darker or lighter than the other. Like, it's not like an extreme range of khaki pants.
Right. Fair enough.
I do have brown pants, and I have like brown and dark brown, and then blue and black and green. And
I just want to know what extreme khaki would look like. Khaki with polka dots. Like, how do you get?
No. I mean, I meant like a deeper, richer khaki color versus like a light, fluffy khaki color. Yeah.
Look at and his then, khakis with a neon belt. Oh my god, extreme khaki.
You know, if I could, I will be honest with you. I'm actually trying to find a nice pair of red dress pants. So if I could find that with a really good belt, that would be great. And then my other terrible tendency is when I go on vacation, I tend to try to buy new clothes. Because, and I always hope this is my, I have 2 vanities in life. I want to make
just
it to 30
two.
With a full, I want to make it to 30 with a full set of hair, which I did. And I really don't like being photographed in the same outfit twice. So
that's understandable why you would have multitudes of clothing.
and it is kind of true. If you ever gone through like my Facebook or even the stuff I post on Twitter, most of it is different outfits. There is some repeats, but even like I went to a wedding like 2 weekends ago, and I think I posted that picture on Facebook.
Didn't you buy a new suit for that?
I bought 2 new suits for that. But
it's only that, one wedding, Earl.
One for the wedding, one for the reception, right, Earl?
Honestly speaking, if I was going back to my hotel room, that would have been the case.
Oh my god! I'm judging you.
And it's fine. Great. I tell people I get it. It's a terrible habit. I know I need to break. But it's insane. Like I've gotten better at it over time. Like the first times I used to go on vacation, I would literally pack for every day I was on vacation. So, you know, different pair of jeans, different shirts, everything. And like that's doable if you go away for like a few days or if you go away for like a week. When I do like 2 or 3 vacations, that's a lot of clothing. And
yeah,
honestly, it was like once they started charging you for every bag that you checked in, it's like what can fit into one bag?
Imagining you like rolling up to like the airport with like a like the trunk that the princess has in Spaceballs. Just like multitudes of like luggage behind you. I'm going on vacation for a month. I have to have my wardrobe with me.
Yeah.
I need 12 pairs of jeans and my extreme khakis.
And like I said, I've gotten better at it in some ways and in other ways.
You've gotten better at fitting more into your luggage, I bet. That's.
Oh, yes, yes. I bought those compression bags. And that's actually true. I do have a bunch of those compression bags, and I like YouTube different ways to like fold your shirts and stuff to make sure you can fit as much as possible in your luggage. It has a double edge. It has its benefits for me as well because it means that I usually pack to capacity, so I'm less likely to buy a bunch of random stuff I don't need on vacation because I can't fit it in my bag to bring it back with me. And
this is fair.
So that's my psychological reasoning for packing so much, so I don't buy a bunch of junk I don't need on vacation.
Because you already own all the junk that you need.
Yes, yes, I do.
You know what? No, we all need our things that make us happy. If you going out and buying new wardrobe every once in a while makes you happy, knock yourself out.
The thing is, I love it, but sometimes it's also like I buy stuff and then I'm like, when am I actually going to wear that? Like, there's like I posted recently, I just got a Wonder Woman denim jacket, which looks really awesome. But I'm also like, I don't necessarily wear denim. Oh, I've actually never really wore a denim jacket. So it's like figuring out when am I actually going to use that? Or the Pac-Man hoodie I bought at the start of the fall, September.
Well, the way the weather's going, never, because it's never well,
that's
be
the
cool
other
enough.
Thing. And that's the other thing is like my wardrobe is like for like I should really just be better at just layering, so I have stuff that kind of works in the winter and I can just add stuff to it, or it works in the summer as a standalone piece. I'm just really bad at that. Like, it's just like, this is my summer stuff, this is my fall stuff, this is my winter stuff.
So you have four separate wardrobes.
Kind of.
Hey.
Plus he's got some other seasons he just made up.
It's just like mid-fall. Like, it's not quite winter yet, but no longer like fall.
But I mean, honestly, I think the worst part about it, at least for me, is like, I still think I'm a terrible dresser. So it's like, I got all this stuff, and I'm like, I still can't dress.
I mean, you
stuff.
Can own all these clothes, but they could all be terrible.
Let's yeah.
This is true. Though I will say, I saw the pictures of you when you went to that wedding, and you look quite snazzy there, so.
You did.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's move off of Earl's mental issues with clothes. And I guess we could talk about some games. Jeff has rejoined us. Says Woo. He has.
Have I?
Oh. Here. The Illinois connection Jeff. Is back.
That can't be Jeff.
So Jeff, you and Earl have been playing more Borderlands. Do you have anything more to add on the kind of what you guys have said over the last couple weeks?
I really am enjoying myself, which I guess I already said, but I did run into some, there's like some bugs and shit in the game for sure.
I was going to say, I find that, I mean, it's Borderlands. I just kind of imagine that jank is part of it. It's never been a refined franchise.
Is it worse than it's been, or?
Well, I ran into like a pretty big problem actually where, I had my girlfriend make a character and start her own game, right? And I went and joined her as my character, and we played for a couple hours. And then when I went back to my game, it was as if I had only discovered the part of the map that she had. And so, like, it'd be like, your next mission is here, but, like, I couldn't even see the map that mission was on. It was gone. I had to rediscover every area in the game that I had already discovered. Like, so, like, there's the ship that you like, go in between levels, and you'll be like, navigate to a new area. And you have to, like, navigate to that area at some screen on the ship, and then, like, crawl into the bottom of the ship and get in one of these drop pods to go to like the new planet or whatever, right? And once you do that, you can just fast travel between any like planet, anything where you've been, you can like fast travel to in the game. But I had essentially lost like 15 hours of like where I could fast travel to, and so I had to go to the ship and like discover all these planets again. And, you know, I'm not the only one who has run into this issue, because I figured out how to solve that issue by, like, Googling, oh, shit, can't access, like, areas I've already been to. Like, I can't access the area that, the mission I'm on now. I had to, like, start from the beginning of the game and rediscover that. So that was a big one there, I think. Scared now to go play in her game again. I'm like, am I going to lose?
I think this game is punishing you for leaving her behind. I mean, how dare you make such progress?
She just like play with her until I catch up to where I'm at in my game. Like it's just
yeah. That does seem like a massive one, especially being that, and I have not gotten much further in the actual game. I just keep on starting it with different friends. There are not a lot of places to quick travel, even within like certain areas. So like being like, having
sometimes
a,
yeah
yeah having a course that entire map, and some of these maps are pretty extensive, so to have to kind of like chart that out again, not only yeah. sounds like a lot of work, it's just kind of a chore really, especially if you don't have missions that take you in certain areas where it's like, why am I going to go over there?
Yeah, it's just basically driving across entire maps, just alright, I gotta get to the exit of this map, and then, you know, then I'll get that fast travel point back when I get to the next map. It sucked, like, and I'm scared, like, I don't know if it's like a one-time thing, like, I got unlucky and it happened, or if it'll happen literally every time, like, I do that, you know what I mean? Like, So it makes me scared to like go back and play with a lower level character now.
Like I'm not playing with you anymore. Play it yourself.
Well, I guess one other thing I could add that's kind of new for me too is like I've noticed like some of the bosses, like the difficulty just goes way off the charts. I don't know if you've gotten the one called like it's called like Katagawa Ball. It's like this giant floating ball, Earl.
Oh, is that like the giant eyeball thing that has like different? Yeah.
I couldn't do shit to it. I couldn't. I mean, I was the same level as it, and I could not. Like the thing would just wreck me, and I couldn't really touch it.
Yeah, and then it has like a shield. It has a shield that like regens, so like even if you get KO'd, like it's pretty much like you. Yeah, and essentially that was like a co-op boss. Like I had a friend who was like, I can't beat it, so they asked me to join them, and we just had to work together. And it's like, if one person dies, the other person just kind of runs around saying that I've grown enough so that they couldn't recharge their health enough. But, no, there's a... I mean, a lot of the bosses in this game, I feel like, there aren't... the game doesn't really give you any indicator as to not only their weak point, but sometimes there's stuff going on in the map that it's hard to navigate around because there's so much going on. And it's a first-person shooter, so your view is already obscured by just being focused on whatever's in front of you. Like, there's that one dubstep boss that, like, early on in the game, but, like, he, like, the environment around you explodes, and it took me the longest time to figure out, like, what the hell we're supposed to do to not get caught in that, because it explodes, and it pretty much knocks out your shield and health in one hit. Yeah. And essentially, I just started running around next to the boss because I knew he wouldn't get hit. And I still don't know the strategy, but it worked enough for me. But yeah, the giant eye one was another one that I did twice, actually. I did once with friends randomly. So I just joined their game. And we were there for like 45 minutes and we were just like, it's over. Because it's like that. And then they summoned a bunch of different soldiers. And it's just a lot of stuff going on the screen.
It's weird, though, because there's, like, a boss not too far after that. It's, like, I think it's, like, Katagawa Jr. It's just, like, a guy that, like, he'll be, like, standing way high above you on crates, and he'll be, like, trying to snipe you and shit. And I had, like, I beat him myself within, like, 10 minutes, no problem, first try. I was, like, how is, like, that guy, like, way easier than the boss that came before him? I do appreciate that there's a lot of bosses in the game, though. I think it's kind of cool. But yeah, the ones I've been really stuck on, I've been using that like club feature on Xbox to find help from people.
Yeah.
And that shit's awesome, dude. Like, so it's like there's like a message board thing, and I just post like, need help with such and such and such. And in like 2 seconds, I'll have some guy who's like a level 50 character come in and just fucking destroy the boss in no time. I'm just like, something that would have taken me like 45 minutes to fucking do. Like, he just comes in and it's like, in under a minute, he just annihilates the boss.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of cheating. Fun.
But yeah, it's kind of cheating. But again, you know, most of the boss fights I've just done on my own by myself. It's just, there's like been like one or two so far where I'm like, man, I'm not even like doing anything to this guy. And I'm like, I'm basically going to have to, like, go out and, like, grind it out for fucking ever. And it's weird, too, because I feel like you have to do all the side quests, because otherwise you just won't be leveled up enough to get through the story, I feel like. I'm doing all the side quests. And I'm still feeling, like, underpowered going into some of these, like, main quests. I don't know if you feel that way, too, but that's...
It's always been a weird thing with the franchise because it's an RPG, but it's not at the same time because it's all like even like your weapons that drop don't necessarily scale upwards. Like you can get like a level 25 weapon that is not better than something you got at level 10. So it's weird in that sense, but yeah, I get what you mean. It's like there are times where it just kind of feels like an enemy hits you once and you're down. And I don't even know if it's sometimes I just think it's like it's like a health thing. Like trying, like that's why I try to get anything that has regenerative health because there's not a lot of ways to regain health early on in the game. I think a lot of characters at some point do get something that gives you health. And I
that shit maxed out. Yeah. Mine.
Which character are you?
The Siren.
Okay.
Whatever her name is. Mara.
Mary.
Yeah. Mari.
Yeah, and then I think a lot of And you know, like it's possible to play the game single player, but I do also feel like a lot of the game kind of wants at least two different characters in there, so that like there's an offense or a defense, or like you can alternate between stuff. Like you can take cover while the other person shoots and regains health. Because even stuff like the second wind feature, like you can do it by killing enemies, but it's also like, you know, you can have a teammate run over and help pick you up and stuff yeah. like that. And I think there's stuff like that they don't really account for in single player, which makes it a lot more difficult, which is why I actually don't play that much single player.
I've been playing it a bunch, but like I will say that there's parts in the single player where you're playing with someone else, and that feels better. Like there's a part, I forgot her name, that you play with. Like it's one of the characters you could be, I think, and she like has this move where she just lifts an enemy up and holds them in the air. I don't know if that's. Oh. I think that's a move that I have too. But anyway, she was doing that, and then meanwhile, I'm shooting at the fucking thing. Like, I don't know. It just feels good having a second player doing other magic shit there.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they want you to. That's why you want a second cat. Because, like, for instance, I can do that as a siren in one of my many many playthroughs, and it's great because again, also as you get further along, like I'm playing one game with a Beastmaster. I'm playing one game as a Beastmaster, and my friend's playing as the Gunner, and like they equip their mech so that at some like when they summon their mech, I can also now ride on it and shoot the turrets on the back of the mech. So it's like, oh, it's another thing that you can kind of do. One that saves ammo, but also kind of creates this co-op thing where you're doing double damage.
Yeah. I love it though. Like I'm like obsessively playing it. I've been like it's pretty much almost all I've been playing and playing a lot of it. Like it's taking up a lot of my free time lately.
Nice.
I don't know how far I am. Honestly, no idea. It's like I'm like a level 18 character, but I'm seeing people that are level 50. I'm wondering where you are typically when you beat the game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've not beaten the game. I think my highest character is like level 22, 23. And I'm on four different playthroughs, one on Xbox
and
one
on
PlayStation 4. and like I said, I assume one of those will eventually end up near the end of the game. But I assume like, in traditional sense, I think you can usually beat the game around level 35, 40. And then a lot of that other stuff is like post-game content and cleaning up.
That's kind of what I figured. It would be like somewhere around 30 or something. But you're saying 35, 40?
Yeah, because you max out like one of your skill trees around 30. At least you'll be able to get to the bottom of it by then. And then I think 50 would probably do two skill trees. Or at least enough in two of them to kind of get the final perk at the bottom.
So I guess it'll keep me busy for the next couple of weeks here. There's stuff right around the corner, it feels like, but this will definitely keep me busy till then.
Yeah, I mean, I think early October is pretty empty, so you got some time to play through it and then get to the end.
And then like five games at once come out.
It's how it always is.
You guys see that like Obradin game or whatever got a release date?
Yeah. And I was interested in that last year. But now that it's coming out, you know, on consoles, I'm interested in giving it a go.
Well, I'm actually kind of curious how quiet early October is, because I'm like, Destiny 2 just went free-to-play this week.
That's true.
Ghost Recon's next... Ghost Recon's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow, yep. And on sale already.
Yeah, the Ultimate Edition or whatever was... So that's a weird thing that companies are doing now.
I don't know. I mean, as long as they're not charging you extra, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, even now, granted, it's not like the onslaught that it was previous last month, but it's a pretty decent start for the first 4 days of the month.
This is true. I guess it's for me, it's like I'm not interested in a whole lot of stuff until later. But yeah, and there's definitely games out there for people. So,
we'll see. The back half of the month with Modern Warfare, The Outer Worlds, Luigi's Mansion.
Like Outer Worlds alone will probably be enough for me, and then there's just like four games stacked on top. Here, you'll have no time. At least, I mean, I'm on vacation that week, at least, so it's gonna be an awesome week. But even then, I feel like I won't have enough time to play everything. You know what I mean?
I know these are mostly ports, but I'm also surprised that within the span of it's like maybe 5 or 6 days, the Switch is getting The Witcher 3, Little Town Hero, Overwatch, and a Ring Fit Adventure. You would think somebody would like, we could probably not put all of those in the same week.
Spread them out a little bit.
Just a little bit. And again, that's not considering the fact that like, Nintendo has a big game coming out at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the Switch. So I'm looking at this. There's that new ukulele game next week. The 2D side scroller. Yeah, there's stuff here. It seems a little lower key because like the huge games are towards the end of the month. But
yeah, these gigantic haymakers are coming, but it's also like there's a lot of jabs and
yeah. If you're trying to keep up with stuff, like you're gonna have some trouble.
I stopped trying to keep up with stuff halfway through September. Yeah. Like I still have not gotten into Awakening or literally anything that came out after Port. I haven't beat Gears of War 5 yet.
Same.
I did beat that. I did beat that this past weekend.
Oh, how is that?
I liked it. It's a good game. Took about 11 hours, so which is one of the longer Gears campaigns. I think it's like up there with 3.
Did that track that, or do you track that?
It does. It tracks it. If you go to your stats, it tells you how much you've played in each of the different modes.
Interesting.
Now I am curious. How much of that do you think is padded from, like, I assume Act 2 and 3, when you're kind of navigating the open world trying to find where to go?
So with Act 2, you go to your waypoint, you're going to get to a point in that act where you can do some scanning, and that can actually reveal all the locations on the map, so all like the little sub locations. So you actually can know when you leave like the first tower or whatever where everything is.
Okay.
In there, so you're not like just driving around. In Act 3, there is a little randomness. Like it does give you like, hey, you should go here for your next main objective, but there's also like side things that you can do for Paddock and for Baird, just like you can in the first one, but in Act 2. But it's a little more open-ended. But I don't think I spent that much time. Like, it seems like a really big open world, but it's really not.
Well, that's what I was curious, because it does seem like a big open world, and then you realize like there's only certain pre-marked destinations you can actually go to.
Yeah.
Like, there's really no reason to pull over most of the time. Like, even stuff that seems like, oh, this might have something, doesn't usually have anything.
Yeah, it's like there's you'll know when there's a place that has something, like the visual language is like there's a flag.
Yeah.
That'll tell you. And like if you stop at a place, like there's some, like if you pull up to a place that has a flag, you'll get a little dialogue between your characters. And you'll know that's a place you can go. You don't have to, but you can go there.
Yeah, and at some of the places you go to, it's just like, oh, here's a room to check out.
Yeah, they're not big. Most of them aren't big. There's a couple that where there's like, yeah, there was one in two where I pulled over, and A warden was there, so it's kind of like a mini boss fight. And then, like, your reward is, oh, there's a thing for Jack here that you pick up. Yeah. So, like, a lot of that is just, like, Jack upgrades.
Yeah, I think there's a few, because there's one where we run to where you have to fight two of the swarm things.
Mm-hmm.
And if the upgrade was, like, a Jack ultimate ability. Oh, speaking of, I did try that this weekend because I went back to Gears 5 a bit to play with a friend. A party because he wanted to see how the accessibility filters work. Because he has like a 6-year-old daughter he can't really play around. And I'm like, oh, you know, they have all these content filters. And it's like, you can turn off the maturity, turn off the blood, you can turn off the gore. And he wanted to see what that was like. I mean, he says it doesn't really do anything that you still can't fit. Because it's like, they still get chainsawed. It's just like, you won't see them cut in half. And the blood isn't red. It's like green or gray or something like that.
So they just change the color of the blood and pretend it's not blood?
Yeah. So they put the Mortal Kombat on Super Nintendo.
So it's green blood. They're not real people. They don't look like real people to begin with. They look like monsters. Like,
yeah,
I guess like if you get chainsawed, right?
Yeah. But because I was trying that out and we were just kind of going through Act 1, which I've done before, I figured it would be an interesting time to see how Jack would work.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave that a try because I know you had done that with Horde, so I wanted to see how that worked. And it's an interesting kind of character to play as.
It's especially like coming from like playing as like Kate or JD or Dell or somebody like play like a normal gear. It's weird.
It looked when we were playing Horde and you were Jack like it was pretty boring, honestly.
It was okay.
It can
like,
be
less interesting than it would be otherwise.
Oh yeah, because you don't have as much. If you've played some campaign, in a campaign, you actually have to level up Jack's ability, and certain stuff are tied to story elements. So you'll get certain abilities as the story progresses.
Yeah.
So early on, you're not really doing anything, and even when you have stuff, because the range is so short, it's really hard to actually participate because you can't hide behind cover, but you're also, you know, you're not like popping people from across the map. You have to be next to them to shock them or use most of your special abilities. What does work is, because Jack tends to be cloaked most of the time, is you can kind of sneak up on enemies and shock them to kind of make them targets for your friends. But like, you are playing a support character, essentially. You're not playing a main character. You're playing as support. Which is why I thought it was interesting that that's like the third character in co-op. And as far as I can tell, there's no option to be another cog.
Yeah, I think so. Like, it looks like you can play as... What's the... In the first act, it's what? You can play as JD and Dell?
Yeah.
And then I think in the second act, it's
Kate and
Dell, and that seems to be, I guess you might be able to play as like the other characters in act 3 or 4 that are with you, but Jack is always with you, so when they split off and it's only, you know, two plus the robot, I guess that's probably why they did it. I don't know if I want to play through campaign as a weakened Jack.
No, but there is an achievement for that, is there not?
There is. I think you just have to play one act as a Jack. So maybe I'll do that when I play with my son.
Oh, and the other thing with Jack is, and I thought this was super strange, you can't necessarily pick up every collectible you see. You can't actually pick up collectibles for the most part. You can pick up the stuff that powers him up, but like the collectibles, you can pick up card tags, but like if you see like a random poster or doll, you can't pick that up. I don't know if that's something that comes later on when you can pick up heavy weapons.
This would be so weird. Like you can't rip this poster off the wall because he's not strong enough.
So it's super annoying when you find a secret and you're like, oh, I found a secret. It's like, no, I got to call this person over to come get it for me. But yeah, it's also the fact that Jack is also tied into whoever's game it is. So, like I said, I was helping my friend out. So I was in his game. My deck is further along just because I played more of the game and I had more of the things to upgrade his abilities. But that's not the deck that gets pulled in, so I didn't have as many options. Like, the deck I have when he... You can use one of his abilities to revive anybody who's down. Like, right. You can revive people who are down in general, but like, you can just use something, like press Y, and it will just pick the person up once. Because like in the normal game, you can just run up to somebody and press X. Jack actually has to hover over them and wait a few seconds for them to revive.
He injects them with the stim.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So he's giving them... what, heroin or something?
Sure.
If you want to be negative about it.
Gears heroin, sure.
The stim.
But yes, it was a fun experiment. I mean, I'm glad that it's an option, I guess, but it's not necessarily the way I would play. And when I do play with this friend again, I'm going to be a human character who can shoot guns.
Yeah, I think I will probably... you know, play as Jack for that one act and get the achievement, but then Jack can go back to the side.
Jack's whack.
Jack is whack. And I'm glad that I was able to finish a horde match with Jack so that I don't have to play a ton more as the little robot.
Oh, is that an achievement as well?
Well, so one of the medals is completed as complete a match of Horde as each of the characters.
Ah.
So I think right now I just have to do Kate and Foz, maybe? Or Kate and Del.
Now, did that count since we started halfway through?
Yep.
Okay.
Which is weird that's why I thought it would pop for you. The achievement didn't pop, but it does count. Like, so I even scammed it a little bit more. I went in and created a match that started at 50 and then just opened the lobby up and went in myself. And I was getting wrecked. Like, it gives you a ton of
money.
Yeah. Ton of money and power, but like I went in as like Marcus or somebody like that, and they can't really build shit. So I like failed a few times. I was like, oh, this kind of sucks. Like, and then four people joined my game, and they just like built up a whole base, and we finished the round, and I got the credit for beating wave 50, and it marked off on my medal.
I mean, you technically beat wave 50, you just didn't beat the other 49.
So I was like, yes, that works for me. we should we'll get together and play some more Horde. Didn't work out this week, but
reminds me, I tried out what is it, Escape?
Yes.
For the first time. And I am not trying to escape I'm not trying to escape again without a full party. Because it's me and my friend, we got a third. Literally, as soon as we started, the third person bailed out.
Oh, no.
Those are designed, though, for three people.
Yeah, because essentially what happened was we got to the very end, and then there's something like five or six of those sirens.
Yep.
And
so, like, you need somebody there that can free one of the other two that has inevitably been caught by them.
Yeah.
Were you playing the weekly, the challenge map?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever it was. It's like, it was the one in like a station, and you had to go to certain control points to like, get fumigated.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of the setting for three of the four. So there's currently four escape maps. One is only one act long, so what they... I guess they call them acts, is that when you get to the safe room, that is the end of act one. And it's actually like a checkpoint. It's like if you die after that checkpoint, start there.
Except that gas is still coming.
Yeah, the gas doesn't ever stop. So you'll actually at some point, I guess, end up back in the room and the gas is just there and you'll die. I don't know. But there is one escape map that is just one act long, and it's basically just boss encounters, which is kind of annoying. But
as I said, I could go either way because you also don't start off with a ton of ammo.
Right.
Not only do you not start off with a ton of ammo, they make sure that those enemies dropping 5 bullets.
Yep, they don't drop a whole lot of ammo. I hate the people that go in and they'll get to the
room,
the equipment room,
and they just take everything.
Yeah, they take everything. It's like, dude, I have 3 bullets left.
Yeah, like me and my friend were sort of like, okay, you're gonna have the answer and the Nasher, you're gonna have the hammer burst, like just so we can make sure we're not taking ammo from the other person. It's so scarce that we're like, okay. And anytime we see, okay, there's hammer burst ammo over here if you want to grab some.
So the good news is that each of the, I don't know about Sarah Connor and the Reach guys, but the 3 Hive Busters, Keegan, Lonnie, and Mac, they're all specialized. So Lonnie, her early cards, one is a melee upgrade. So if she can get close, you can start taking down enemies that would normally take 2 or 3 hits with 1, and you don't need to shoot them. Where Mac, he can upgrade his, he starts out with the Boltok, which is the 6-shooter.
Yeah.
And that's it's a heavy weapon. It's a heavy pistol. And you can actually increase his, stockpile of weapons. His stockpile of ammo. So where you might start with 12 the first time or whatever, I think I'm now starting with 24, which isn't a ton more, but he also has headshot bonuses and stuff. So
yeah, that's to say, I also think that the Boltok in general is only 18-4 in the game. Not a pistol that has a ton of ammo. And then I forget which character I was. I know my character, his ultimate move in that mode was he'd create a circle and it would add bullets to your.
Yes, so Keegan arsenal. His ultimate is a supply drop. So, if you're all standing in a circle, your ammo will go up somehow.
Yeah. I didn't question it.
I don't know
it.
Where he stored that ammo.
No, I have no idea. Why is he even stockpiling it? Waiting until the end. that's one thing I hate though, is if you play with randoms. Especially Keegan should be, as soon as he gets
his ability,
he should try and hey, everybody come here. Let's get the thing going. And he'll call it out, press the button. And, but they'll either run so far ahead and do it or they won't press it at all. They'll do it when we reach outside. Oh, cool. Cool. The gate's closed. And now you press. Well, that was helpful. Very helpful. But yeah, escape is fun, and you don't need 5, so.
Yeah, that's the downside, though. I mean, part of it is because you do need 3, so it's okay, I have, because that's kind of what happened on Tuesday. It was we usually have that Gears of War game, and then everybody's I can't make it. I'm okay, so it's you, me, and Walter, and then Walter's you can't make it. I'm god damn it, I don't want to pay at a random for escape. But yeah, I do like it. It's a nice change of pace for Gears of War. It's it's the only thing I can think of that it puts you on kind of the defensive in that franchise. Because honestly, it's kind of the complete opposite of Horde, where it's we're going to give you a bunch of stuff, but we're just going to throw a bunch of enemies at you. Here it's we're not going to throw as many enemies, but you're going to have to manage your resources.
Yeah, it's here's 6 bullets. Go. Survive. Survive till the end. It's fun and it's quick. Most of them take about 10 minutes long. So, Horde takes a, even if you're starting at 25, it's still taking an hour to play. Escape's fun. Let's see. What else you guys, Tony, what have you been playing?
So I finally started playing BattleTech. It was the headliner game for the October Humble Bundle.
Okay.
So the game you get for
third monthly.
But yes, yeah, it's the game you're guaranteed. So I was looking at buying it last month for like $13 and I let it go. And then I saw that, you know, the Humble Bundle's $12, so you get this one and a bunch of other things. So I figured I'd give it a shot, and I really regret not playing it until now.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. So the premise is you're a mech warrior who gets in charge of this mech company, and you have you're like the commander when you go into battle, and you're like guiding these four mechs around, fighting through missions. You're a mercenary, so you're like getting hired by all of these planets to like do whatever. There's a lot of like political intrigue behind it. Like the missions that you undertake can raise your reputation with whoever, you know, sold you the mission, but that particular mission might be attacking something that belonged to another faction. So it like reduces your reputation with them. So you're like trying to increase your reputation as a mercenary overall while like trying to stay in the good graces of as many employers as possible. So it's a really interesting dynamic there. The game itself is turn-based as opposed to like every other Mech Warrior game I've ever played, which were all in real time. I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun. You get the whole mech customization thing. You can take your mechs and refit them with whatever weapons you want. The strategy elements are deep without being overly complicated, I think, which is a nice thing to achieve. Like you have to manage the heat on your mechs, and it, which is always the annoying part about the Mech Warrior games.
Managing the exhaust and like, yeah. So it's basically like a stamina meter, right? Like,
you right. Know. Well, actually, so I there was one time I was playing 3, and I had I was trying a new build on one of my mechs, and I tried the Alpha Strike, you know, the thing where you fire all your weapons at once. Mm-hmm. And my mech just blew up because the heat management was so bad. this is a lot less complicated than that. It's a lot more directed. It tells you how everything is in relation to each other without like a bunch of like really mind-numbing stats. So it's easy Mech Warrior, I guess.
Nice. Is that just PC?
Yeah, it's a PC game. I don't know why. Like, there's a lot of PC games in the style now that are making their way to Xbox. I think it could very well be on Xbox. It has a lot of those XCOM-y elements, I think, that are really popular with people playing strategy games on Xbox.
Right.
Like, you have your pilots who you can, like, you know, recruit and build up over time with experience, and it's got the same, like, if they die, there's like a memorial hall where you can go and mourn your own person, and you know, you can make them into your friends and that kind of thing.
Developed by Harebrained, which who did the Shadowrun games.
Yep,
the recent Shadowrun, they were pretty good. So,
yep, and you know that publisher that owns my soul.
Oh, yes. Paradox, you will do anything for. So
I really will. I'm really surprised I didn't have this already, but you know,
hey,
finally picked it up, gave it a shot. Game, right, so. It's certainly worth $12.
Nice. So yeah, we'll add that to my my wish list on Steam. Games that I probably won't play, but I'll
right,
buy
one of those games that you buy at some point for like $4 and never think about again.
Yeah, but it does look cool, and I do like mechs.
Yeah, the mechs, the sense of scale from the mechs is pretty cool. Like you have your mech just come and like step on a tank. Like, oh, even if it's like one of your like light mechs, you're like, this mech sucks. It can't kill anything. It walks up to a tank and just steps on it, and the tank dies. I go.
Yeah, I'm like looking at some screenshots here, and it's like an in-game shot. You know, with I guess there's like three or four different this guy was using, and like, but it's near like a It's like maybe like a helipad and mm-hmm. a small like military base. And these things are as big as buildings. Like
they're huge. They're huge. They're like you're fighting a battle and you're like walking through buildings while you're doing it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Mechs are cool.
Like you see them like walking down a highway, not like knocking down all the telephone.
All right. Let's see what else we got here. Jeff, you played Tembo, the badass elephant.
Yeah, it's like I think it's one of the games of the month on Xbox Live. If I'm correct.
Yeah, it's one of the games with gold.
Yeah.
It's a game I always like kind of wanted to try because it's a platformer, you know. But I just somehow had never, you know, never saw it on sale, never bought it, whatever. So I was like, oh, it's free. I'll check it out. And it seems pretty good so far. It's not like amazing or anything. Kind of reminds me of like, you know, like the parts in like Donkey Kong Country when you'll get like the rhino or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a whole game of that.
Oh, okay. Like,
as the elephant, like the main thing you do is kind of like charge. You like kind of hold down X and you'll kind of run, kind of like how, you know, the rhino will like dash or whatever in Donkey Kong Country. You got like more moves than that going on, though. You could do like a butt stomp and stuff like that. It's just pretty basic, though, 2D platformer that, again, I'm not like super far into it or anything, but it's definitely fun for free, I'd say. Like, yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I don't know if it's like amazing or anything, but I think nice. Have you tried it, Chris?
I clicked on it to add it to my library.
I did that too.
I will have to do it's that by, soon.
I think it's made by Game Freak.
It is Game Freak. It's like yeah. notable because I think it was their first non-Pokemon game in like 15 years or something like that.
Huh. Neat.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's good, I think, like, I'm trying to think of other moves and stuff you have as an elephant. You, like, could spray water, and you'll have to do that sometimes when things are on fire. Every level, you're just basically running from the beginning to the end, but there's, like, I forgot how many, there's, like, about 10 or 11, so, like, hostages type things you could like save throughout the level. Basically just like hidden, like if you find hidden areas, there'll be like a person in there you could save. So if you look at the nook and crannies, there's stuff to find and it's just to get like a higher score on the level essentially. I don't know. Again, not much to it, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
probably end up playing through it.
It's free if you have gold, so
yeah.
You'll get it. I played a couple new games, but so the month changed over, and with it, so did the Xbox Rewards quests.
That's right.
God.
And one of them is for a game called Jump Force, which
the anime like, Smash Brothers?
I guess like it's like Naruto and the hell is. Goku, so Dragon Ball, I guess that's Goku, right? I don't know anime. I don't know these anime specifically, but I think they're different. Like Naruto and Dragon Ball are not the same. Yes,
no, they're not the same franchise.
Okay. I didn't think so.
I know enough about anime to know that's true.
And I think there's like another franchise tackled in here too.
There's several franchises. I think Death Note is represented.
They're the ones with the weird eyes.
That does not narrow it down in anime.
No, I guess not. But their eyes are like bulging out of their head. Like I think that's maybe. What I remember from seeing in Death Note before.
So it's also that movie on Netflix that is special. But okay, just to pull it up so that nobody says we were. Uninformed about the higher class of anime. This features characters from Black Clover, Bleach, Boruto, which is Naruto's sequel, which I always think is made up whenever I see the name.
So yeah, there was a guy named Boruto in this, but there's also Naruto.
And I'm like, Naruto from Naruto.
What the fuck is Baruto, going on?
Boruto is Naruto's son, as far as I can tell. And okay. I swear to you, every time I see that, I assume somebody's putting my egg.
Maybe they
City
are.
Hunter, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Quest, Fist of the North Star, Hunter x Hunter, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, My Hero Academia, One Piece, Rowan Kinchi, Saint Seiya, Yu-Gi-Oh, and Yaya Hashui?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is
just to cover our asses.
I was able to recognize Goku and Naruto, but only from name, because I don't actually know who he is. And then this Boruto guy. There's a guy named Trunks.
From Dragon Ball.
And then a guy named Vegeta, who is the Dragon dad Ball. Of Trunks.
Yeah, wait. Is he the dad of Trunks?
That's what they said.
Okay.
He kept calling him dad.
Maybe that's a nickname. Or that maybe maybe he meant like daddy.
What's
and not
up,
dad.
Daddy? Yo, daddy. Yeah. I think it's his actual father, but I'm not sure. Look, I'm not making fun of like.
Yes, you
are.
I don't know it. I just don't. Like, I went into this and like it's all in Japanese. I think the voice acting is. I'm sure it's great for people that like it, but hearing Goku's voice was disturbing. Like, it's this high-pitched, kind of, like, it doesn't fit his body at all.
Well, that's always kind of been his thing, because he's like a giant kid who's always just looking for a fight.
That checks out.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to fight things. But he's like this, like, super hulky dude, though. So anyway, there's a lot of story to this game, and all I wanted to do was like play enough to get 2 achievements so that I could get out of it. And I ended up paying for 2 hours, because I am dedicated to getting those, that free 10 cents from Microsoft. So, I think it's a really bad 3D fighter though. Like, the actual gameplay is bad.
Oh yeah, it seems like it's also one of those things, because I saw a video on PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale this week. It's also one of those things where, like, even though it's like anime has like some of these characters don't necessarily mesh well in this, because it's like instead of going with like more cartoony style for an anime fighter, they go with 3D polygons, and some of these characters do not translate well into that style.
They're creepy.
Yeah,
like the. Straight up creepy looking in a lot of cases. And then they throw you into this really like I don't play a lot of fighting games to begin with, but I played a few 3D fighters, you know, but they normally put you in a ring that is, you know, you're navigating around that and utilizing it. And in this, they're like dropping you into like a cityscape. And so like you're throwing like really cool, like looking like special moves and shit, but you're like throwing them across the map, and then like you have to like run across the map to get back at them. Like, there's no quick and easy way of getting right back on top of them. And then on top of that, I think the actual mechanics are bad. Like, they're slow, they're delayed. It's a tag game, so it's kind of like Tekken Tag Tournament or a Marvel vs. Capcom, where you can tag in another, you know, a teammate. But half the time I would press the button to do the tag, and like the other person wouldn't come in, and I would be then end up getting punched in the face. So yeah, I guess it's cool if you like those games, those TV shows, but I don't think it's a very good game. I would recommend skipping it, but there is 100 points for getting 2 achievements in it.
Gotta get that 100 points.
Yep.
Jesus.
Jeff, you're like laughing, but one of the little icons that like they go like, hey, check out this, like basically it's an ad, right? Like, check out the daily game and get 5 points.
Yeah.
One of them was this game called Vigor, which evidently is free to play. So I was like, all right, you know,
I'd like some vigor.
Yeah.
Sure.
And free-to-play stuff is, like, it's not always good, but, like, free-to-play is also free to try. So, it doesn't hurt me anything to install it. Vigor is, let's see, think PlayerUnknown's Battleground. But instead of it being a battle royale, it is a, like, they drop 8 people on a map. And your objective is to kind of scavenge as much as you can and then get out of the map. So, like, you can kill the other people and take their shit. But your ultimate goal is to get as much as you can and get back, get out of the map, which then brings you back to your own base, which you can then upgrade with the shit that you scavenged. So it's not necessarily a game about killing. It's a game about, like, getting shit to survive. But on top of that,
getting in and getting out.
Yeah, getting in and getting out. But on top of that, there is, so you start out with a gun. If you die, the person that kills you gets your shit, including your weapons. So you could then end up, like, if you die a bunch of times, you could end up, like, burning all of your weapons and then having to go in with nothing. So basically, you're running in, like, trying to scavenge as much shit as you can and getting out. I enjoyed what I played of it, which was only maybe about an hour. There's different maps. It's not just the same map. So you hit quick play and it'll drop you into, I think, one of, like, 7 or 8 different maps, which is interesting because then it's like, it's not always the same thing. Like Fortnite is always the same map. And I even think with PlayerUnknown's, it's only like 2 or 3 different maps. These maps are a little bit smaller, but because they're only designed for 8 people. And I died twice in like the 4 or 5 I did. But it's not necessarily about, like, finding somebody to kill them. So I thought that was, like, an interesting twist on, like, the survival battle royale. And I like the idea of, like, you're going back to your base and utilizing the supplies that you just collected to then improve your base. Like, so I'm up to, like, a level 3 structure now. And as you advance your structure too, you get access to do more things. Like, I can build, like, better guns or build ammo with some of the shit that I bring back. So there's, like, it's this weird economy back and forth, which I think is pretty cool. So, and it's free. So there's that.
The price is right.
Yeah. All right, Earl, you played a Star Wars game.
I played a Star Wars game, but not any Star Wars game of this generation.
Is it, like, no, the one generation. Switch,
you played one from, like, no, the original Xbox, right?
The original Xbox, Republic Commando.
Yes, Republic Commando, not Commando Republic.
Not Commando Republic. I
Let's
did
go
check
Commando
that
Republic
before
yeah.
I came. But yeah, I had a quiet weekend, so I was just going through the games I had downloaded on my Xbox and PS4, and it seemed interesting. And I played it, and honestly, I think the most, it's not a bad game. I'm enjoying myself, but I think the most fascinating thing to me is, like, this is clearly a pre Call of Duty first person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of going back to a time like that, like, you can kind of quote unquote aim down sights, but it's a button toggle. And so you either do it and you don't, and you automatically get out of it when you reload your weapon. And that was such a mind trip to me because, again, I'm so accustomed to, like, almost every first-person shooter having it as a button press now.
Just pulling the trigger and zooming in a little bit.
Yeah. It's a squad-based shooter, which is part of the reason I had got it in the first place because that would be interesting to revisit. But, again, it's one of those games that, like, came out before we kind of standardized what squad-based meant. Because, like, nowadays, a lot of games would attach a lot of commands to the D-pad.
Right.
This game, it's what's a contextual. So the A button does everything. So you'll look at something, you'll press A, and it will send that teammate that needs to go there to go there. You don't necessarily pick the teammate. If you want to issue commands to your team, you hold down the A button, and then a menu comes up for you to press something on the analog stick, not actually the D-pad. So that was interesting as well. It doesn't have health. It has a health system, but it doesn't have health where like health packets fall on the ground. Instead, you will find recharge stations every so often, and you go there and recharge your health. As far as I can tell, it's unlimited use. I mean, you're not going to be in an area long, but like you just go there and you refill your health and you continue on. It's just a really, I think, fascinating time capsule of like the difference that, like, it's not, it's because it's a later Xbox game. Like, I think it's 2003, 2004. Mm-hmm. It's just around the time when before the 360 transition where a lot of this stuff would have taken off and become normalized. It's also really weird, I guess, as, again, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I don't know when this takes place, but you play as Stormtroopers.
That way you're playing as, I believe, clone troopers. During the they're like proto stormtroopers. They're part of the New Republic. They're Republic.
So like, it's between like the attack. It's between like Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clone. There we go. So you're playing as them, and I thought that was actually a really interesting twist because again, you kind of think of them. I mean, I do at least as grunts.
Yeah.
So it's nice to kind of, and I know that becomes a big part of that, but this would be, it becomes a big part of the Clone Wars animated series where they're working with Anakin and all those people all the time, which is kind of nifty. But yeah, I think the game itself is fine. It's a pretty straightforward shooter. Where out of the times it raises a bit too much information to you, but it usually always tells you where to go. There's a decent amount of enemies. You get some nice different types of weapons. It's a Star Wars game that, for better or worse, does not deal with the Jedi, so you don't get any fancy powers, which is actually kind of nice because, I mean, again, I think the Jedi powers are really. But I think so much of those video games rely on just being a Jedi. That's nice to be like, oh, we're going to make a first-person shooter in the Star Wars universe that has you as somebody that actually should use a blaster or different weapons that makes sense. And you're not invulnerable because, you know, again, Jedi's like superheroes, where right. Stormtroopers or clone troopers are normal people who can be killed constantly.
Which is one of the things I like about like Dark Forces, which was the one, I think it was the first Star Wars first person shooter. It's basically just a Doom clone, but you play as this guy, Kyle Katarn, who in later games does become a Jedi, but he's just a grunt. Like, he's just a spy, and you're just running around the Star Wars universe shooting stormtroopers and shit. And like, that's the fun part. It's like just being in that world, not having to do the magic shit.
So. Yeah.
Cool. I have Republic Commando 2. I've never played it, but I should at some point.
So I looked up the game I was thinking of is called Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast that recently got released on consoles.
Yes. So that is the third Dark Forces game.
How is that? Would that be worth buying or no?
I never played it on console, but it's a good, good for that era, first person game. Kyle at that point does have like force powers and shit. So
it looks like a third person action game, what I was looking at.
So there are third person, like you can pull back, especially with the lightsaber. You want to be playing third person when you're fighting with the lightsaber because it's almost unwieldy playing in first person with it. But there's also first person sections.
Wonder how and, it is on console. Right, I think I saw it on sale. I was like debating. I'm like, this probably feels old, but I figured I'd ask you. I know you played. At least Chris has played like all the Star Wars games. I'm assuming.
except for Republic Commando. most of them, for sure.
And I would also say, I think this is my first exposure to it, but the Xbox One emulation actually really is really good too. Like, it does not, like, I didn't feel like there was any lag or it was janky or anything like that. And it boots right back into the Xbox One when you, like, press the home button, which is great because, yeah, like, you know, like, I remember, like, I think this, well, I know Nintendo used to do that with the Wii and the Wii U. Like, that would be a separate menu altogether. Where yeah. This is like, yeah, you're still on your Xbox One, you're just playing a game via it. So, yeah, good emulation.
Yeah, so and I haven't played any original Xbox games on it, but is there, does it like boot into kind of like a simulated Xbox environment, like the 360 does?
I believe so. Well, yes and no, because as far as I remember, the Xbox did not have like a it didn't have like a central hub, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
it did.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay, then it's not boot into that. It boots into the game.
Okay. Well, right, but like, does it? Have you played any of the 360 emulated games?
Yeah, because I know like the 360. Like when you do that, it kind of goes into what the 360.
Yeah, if you were like booting up a 360, like it gives you like the 360 logo, and then it drops you into the game. But it also has like the overlay of like if you press the, you know, the hamburger button and the little boxes basically start and select on the Xbox controller, like it'll bring up the Xbox 360 guide. I don't think there wasn't a guide, was there, Tony, for
no, it was pretty rudimentary once you got in there. It was like a little like wheel hub thing.
Okay, so maybe it doesn't need to boot into that on the Xbox One. It's nice to know that it all that
it
time,
works well. Yeah,
they put into it that it works good. And you played one other game.
Super Mario, new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, and that was partially just because I have not played my Switch recently, but it's work today, and you know, I I'm sure people have come around on this recently. And said similar, it's one of those games that, and it's odd to say for a Mario game, that just kind of got stepped on when it came out because I think a lot of people were just done with the new Super Mario Brothers games at that point, because that was the fourth one, and the second one in three months?
Yeah, because the new Super Mario Bros. 2 had just come out on the 3DS a little bit while before.
And I think people were just kind of over it. And the fact that this was the launch title for Nintendo's brand new system and it wasn't what people wanted. There's a lot of things that worked against this game. But, I mean, when you actually kind of divorce of all that now and kind of going back. I mean, even at the time, I enjoyed it. But it is one of the best 2D Mario games ever.
Yeah.
It has really great level design. Really makes good use of the powers.
Agree.
And, you know, as much as I know they were just there to kind of pad out the game, but adding those gold coins really does add something to that franchise. And just like, it's not like, it's like you can beat the level. Like, levels are still challenging, but you can beat them no problem. But finding those three coins adds like this extra challenge that kind of makes it like I'm going to have to risk a little bit to make sure I can get all of these in my first run.
Right.
And it's super frustrating when you miss one and you want to kind of go back and like, where was it? But yeah, it's, you know, it has, again, it looks like a new Super Mario Brothers game, which it does. I mean, that's on Nintendo.
Yeah, like you either like that style or you...
I don't mind that style, but I can also understand why people would get tired of it. Especially like new Super Mario, like Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3, and World don't look the same.
Yeah, but, four games look five if you include Super Mario Run that all kind of look exactly the same.
Or seven if you want to include the two Mario Makers, which also kind of came out in that same time frame.
True.
But yeah, and then I mean, really, because like especially with you, because it didn't really have a big hook. At least the Wii version, Big Hook was the first time you had multiplayer Mario. You was multiplayer Mario again. We already had that. It yep. had the same design as the previous three games in this series. The Koopa Kids had already come back in the Wii version, so that wasn't a big hook either. But you know, taking it for what it was the evolution of this formula. It has, like I said, some tremendous level designs. There are some actually really creative looking levels in the game. The problem with some of those is like they're buried in the back half of the game, and that's not necessarily the stuff Nintendo likes to show when marketing it. So I can understand why people got tired of it. And again, the same complaint with the music, where a lot of that, I actually like the new Super Mario Bros. Music. I know a lot of people don't like the whole the enemies dance to it and has the ba-dum-bum, but I think it's cute and fun. And I mean, it's Mario. I mean, it's always kind of been, not all, it is a super goofy franchise.
Yeah. For sure.
My one pet peeve with this, especially with this now being on the Switch and it being portable, is it still has that one really annoying thing where during your initial run, you can only save at castles and airships.
Yep.
I don't get why. I mean, I guess you can just, yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what I'm at now. You can just, you know, go to seat mode, but I don't get why you can't save after every level.
Yeah, it's like if you did go to play a different game, then you're going to lose a couple levels progress or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which sucks because, like, that I agree. I think that's the one thing that kind of holds that back.
It doesn't like add anything to the game to have that in there either ways. It's just saved after every level. You know?
No, it's not like the game is like, you know, this super tough thing that it's like, yeah. Oh, you have to get to this point to save. Like it's just it ends up being like a, you know, a lesson in tedium.
Yeah. And to that point, and I remember this being a criticism when the game came out, and it kind of remains true. More so as time goes on, is like when you die, you get booted back to the main menu. Well, not the main menu, but the map, and then you have to go back to the level and pick it again. And it's just like,
should just be able to restart it.
Yeah, I get what they're going for. It's like you get booted, and you might want to use an item you have saved. But I feel like that should be the option. Do you want to continue, or do you want to like pick an item and come back?
Right. I really like that game though.
Yeah,
it's an excellent 2D Mario.
We use the Wii U, but I do think that the three Mario games are super underrated on that system. I mean, Mario Maker is so, but like 3D World is a phenomenal Mario game as well. That I know a lot of people like, but like a lot of people didn't get an opportunity to play.
Yep. I guess there's one piece of news out there. I'm sure there's more, but there's one that I kind of remembered was that Sean Layton,
has left Sony.
I don't know if it was his own choice. I don't know if that has come out, but there was a lot of speculation because it was a weird announcement. With him
you
leaving.
You mean the president of Sony Interactive Entertainment and being announced to leave at 11 p.m. Eastern time?
On Twitter?
On Twitter. It seems a little strange to you?
It did seem a little strange to me.
Not only that, but as far as I can tell, that's the only statement that anybody's made on that. Like, I don't think he said anything about it. I don't know if Sony's released a proper press release. It's literally like, oh yeah, we wish him all the best, and thank you.
Great job, man.
It was such a weirdly worded tweet, too. It was like, with like heavy heart or something like that is how it started. It's like, oh, what happened? It's just like, oh, he's leaving. It's like, man, he set us up to like state that he died. Like, what's going on here?
They're just so sad that he's leaving. Overcome with sadness.
So, I evidently, there has not been any additional information to kind of come out on this. So, there's lots of speculation, like that. I guess there's been a management shakeup at Sony or whatever, and he's no longer part of their plans, or he's decided he no longer wants to be part of their plan. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario, just because you would think from a business standpoint, and again, I've never run a multi-thousand-dollar industry that a multi-billion-dollar one. So I'm no expert in this, but you would think that going into a transitional period, as they are with the PlayStation 5, that you would kind of want a steady leadership. Or even if it's not city leadership, at least some guidance. I mean, and it's different for us. We're consumers. They don't need to, like, we don't, like, at the end of the day, who's ever eating it doesn't matter to us on a day-to-day basis. If there's games that come out next year on, and they're fantastic, fine, great. But like, they announced, like, he's even, as far as I could tell, they've announced nobody's replacing him, or, like, who's taken over in the interim,
right?
Or if that position still exists. Like, you know, it's, I'm sure
letting
he's not
it breathe, Earl. Letting it breathe.
Letting it breathe. So it's like one of those things. Like, if you're a third party, again, I assume, like, you know, like any business, you're not talking to this one dude only. But right. You know, like, he's the guy who's gonna sign up on stuff.
And you're coming up on a you know, a big transitional period for that division. You would think you'd want some stability there, as opposed to somebody that might want to come in and do their own thing. Not that they're going to come in and be like, "Nah, we're not doing the PlayStation 5 now. Cancel that shit." Like, that they're too far along for that. But you would think that, like, some of these plans would have to be well in advance, and to bring somebody in now, it seems weird.
Yeah, and honestly, I think. The biggest thing would be, really, is, like, what is your software feel going to be? Because, like, even if this is a week or so, like, that does kind of create some disruption. And like you said, somebody can come on and it's like, oh, these are not the types of games we want to make going forward. And they'll start making different types of games. And I'm not saying that Sony's not going to make, like, The Last of Us and Uncharted. But, like, I mean, calling a spade, I'm sure that people notice that there's been a, like, Sony does not make the type of games they made during the PlayStation 2 and the PlayStation 3 anymore. Like, you got, like maybe one Ratchet game this generation,
yeah,
but no Jax, no Sly. You know, you're not getting stuff like, you know, like Little Big Planet. You're not getting Mod Nation. You're not getting, you know, stuff like the Starhawk or. What was their racing game called? Not Gran Turismo, but the not Wipeout. What's Wipeout?
I know what you're saying.
No, Wipeout's not them.
What Wipeout is? Wipeout wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
It's their F-Zero type game.
Yeah.
There was another one too, though. Like, there was a like an arcade racer that they had.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
There was, like, I can't remember the name of the series.
But yeah, you're not getting stuff like Twisted Metal. I mean, technically speaking, you're not getting stuff like Spyro and Crash. And you've gotten remasters of them, but there's been no new games.
Well, and I don't know, this is something that I've felt with Sony's. Like, I mean, the games they release are undoubtedly very well made, but they all are kind of falling into the same slot for me, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
They all feel very similar, so.
Even God of War feels like an Uncharted game now in a lot of ways.
Right.
Yeah, the big narrative driven adventure game.
Motor
and that's
Storm.
Not to say, and again, because you're already pissed off the anime fan, that's not to say, like, Uncharted, The Last of Us, God of War, Until Dawn, all those are the same game.
No,
but it's the same type of game.
All the same, absolutely.
But it's kind of like when people say Nintendo makes the same game, they kind of mean that a lot of Nintendo games, especially when they're, like, not doing well, are like 2D platformers. And it's like, yeah, Donkey Kong is the same thing as Mario, but, like, to you, if you don't like platformers, it's like it's another platformer to me.
Right, like it's another 3D cinematic action game.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I enjoyed God of War for what it was. I like Uncharted quite a bit. Horizon was probably the one that was most different. Only because it's an open world kind of thing. So, but yeah, they all kind of feel similar.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't know if you guys heard me. I was thinking of the racing series. I was thinking of was MotorStorm.
That's it. MotorStorm.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. But yeah, a lot of those, like, they don't make those arcadey games. They don't make those platformers. Like, they, you know, and part of it is also that their focus at times is split between stuff like pushing VR, pushing, what is it, Play Connect? Is that their phone to PlayStation stuff?
Maybe.
I forget what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That, you know, they've done the camera stuff. They've done the Move. They did 3D gaming for a bit.
They have their streaming thing going on with PlayStation Now.
That is the other piece of news, I guess, is it's dropping price. It's $10 on now?
Yes.
So,
which is better, way better than what it was, 20 a month before, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be, I guess, bringing in what they call marquee titles.
Yes.
Like God of War and Grand Theft Auto.
So yes, you
sweet.
Can tell
like
that
nobody has those games.
But I mean, you do need big games that is getting people excited. And yeah, I mean, they have a lot of ground to catch up on Game Pass, which is ironic since like PlayStation Now is like years older than Game Pass is. But.
Well, yeah, Microsoft went all out with Game Pass. It's like,
yeah,
here is our number one release of the fall. Put it on Game Pass. For number two, we'll stick it on. Like all of our releases from the fall. Why not have them all?
All of our releases at all.
Yeah. And here's all of our releases. And here's some third-party releases you may want as well. Because like, as they reminded us this week, Outer Worlds coming to that. So.
Yeah. And then even there, like, you know, outside of having games that are launching on service, like, you know, Jeff hated Blair Witch, but that was a brand new game that launched on there. And they're having other brand new games that launch on there. But then, like, you get, like, stuff like Devil May Cry 5 that was earlier this year, now available on Game Pass. Like that to me is where the value for that comes in. And yeah, God of War's cool, but that game was cool last year. Now we're talking 18 months since its release, like, that you're dropping it on there. I don't know. If Sony were to be like, hey, come to PlayStation Now and get The Last of Us 2 and all of our other stuff going forward, maybe. I don't know. There's only so many subscription services you can subscribe.
Yeah, and I mean that's the same fight we're having with movies now. It's like, yeah, Disney Plus launches in a month, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, you know, like I said, Disney, Warner Brothers doing their own thing, Universal's doing their own thing. That's not counting the dozens of ones that people don't know about. Like I saw recently that a show got announced for Quibi, and I'm like, what the hell is Quibi? So yeah, it's the same. It's like, yeah, we talk about Game Pass, but Stadia is launching soon. I mean, that's not a subscription, but that is streaming. Apple just launched Apple Arcade. In reaction to that, Google announced Play Pass. You have EA Access. You have Ubisoft has their thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's only on PC right now, but yeah,
but,
they have the
they have their thing. I mean, technically speaking, you have the two things with Nintendo, well, the one thing with Nintendo Switch Online with the Nintendo and Super Nintendo game. It's like, at some, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's great because you save money, but it's also like, yeah, I'm not just gonna like buy a subscription. I'd rather buy a game outright than having a subscription, so a bunch of stuff just to have subscriptions that might save me money.
Right. But if I could get The Last of Us 2 on PlayStation Now, I would give them $10 for February.
Still too much money.
Sure. I'm with you.
Yep, Sony fans.
Look, I like Sony. I will get a PlayStation 5, but I am not a Last of Us fan. Jeff's looking forward to it, though, right, Jeff?
No.
Oh. Good. Nobody likes Last of Us.
I don't even know. I honestly don't even know also whether I'll get a PlayStation 5. I always use the PlayStation the least. Like, it just...
Mm-hmm.
I'm essentially buying it for a couple games. I maybe just might wait till late in the gen and go in that way.
Well, I think the thing for me with Sony, not to hammer on them too much, but we're already going down this road, is that they are the market leader. They've been the market leader for the better part of two decades now. But I feel like they have just kind of rested on that this generation, where they're not hungry. Like, you look at something like Nintendo, and that's a Untitled Goose Game, which is such a random indie title that somehow has taken hold of fans on that platform. Like, that's like on PlayStation 3, that feels like the game Sony would have gone after and marketed heavily.
Even at the beginning of the PlayStation 4, like, you know, when they were still trying to compete with Microsoft before they knew they had killed them.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of the last like indie game that Sony has really kind of gotten behind.
No Man's Sky.
That's what I was just thinking.
Maybe that's why they stopped doing it.
It's like, oh, we got behind them and they fucked up.
I mean, it sold, didn't it?
It did, and now it's like people that are playing it say it's a great game.
Supposedly good, yeah.
Back to it.
Yeah, but even still, like, that was still 3-some-odd years ago.
Yep.
Maybe I'll get it on Xbox one day. Because it's out. Like, the whole thing is on Xbox now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I'm really trying to think of, like...
the last big indie on there.
Like, I mean, technically speaking, I guess Shenmue 3, since that was a Kickstarter game.
Yeah, I guess.
But that's multi-platform. And that has brand recognition. It anyhow.
Nintendo's done a good job of like kind of solidifying that
kind of taking over that kind of like segment in a way. Like, yeah, like I do think like PlayStation 3, like they were really good with shit like that, and now it's like the Switch is kind of taking that over.
Yeah, I mean, the only way Nintendo could have done that was if Sony had left the void to,
yeah.
It's not, because even at the start of the Switch, like, they were getting games, but it wasn't like they were getting these major games. And to the same credit, I'm trying to think of the last one that Microsoft really championed. Like, I was going to say, I guess Cuphead? But they own that company, don't they?
No.
Or did they buy them after the fact?
I think the Cuphead company is independent. They bought Moon Studios, who did Ori.
But I think they bought the Cuphead developers. That's why it was a big thing when it went to the Switch. Because
I thought something like that, too. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, it might be an independent game that they published.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to...
That's also on the Switch now. Switch just gets everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, and part of that is, I mean, and you know, Nintendo has they're coming at this, I mean, I'm saying they're coming at this, it's been, what, 3 years, almost 3 years since the Switch launch, is that they have this, it's really bad, it's a good thing, but it's a really terrible history of the fact that third parties have ignored them for the better part of 15 years, is that you're getting out of these games in these Android titles that have not been on a Nintendo system that comes with that free marketing of, like, the first time on a Nintendo system.
Yeah.
Like, you saw with Doom. Well, not Doom, but, like, Wolfenstein. You see that with The Witcher 3. You're going to see that with Overwatch. Seeing that with, you know, Cuphead and Ori had that reputation to be a Microsoft-ported game. But there's been a lot of Diablo 3, a lot of these games that it's like, oh man, I can't believe it runs on the Switch, or I can't believe this is coming to a Nintendo system for the first time, has a built-in feedback loop for a lot of fans who are like, oh, I get to experience this for the first time. I don't know how. Not from Nintendo, but I can't imagine ever having one of their systems as my only console.
No.
But yeah.
they're my secondary.
So I do think they could be a primary this time around.
Possible.
We'll see. But yeah, indie games.
Oh, yeah.
I was not around last week, so what? And I did not listen to the full episode. What did you folks say about the PlayStation? Or did we talk about that one? The PlayStation, what did they call that? A State of Play.
We didn't talk about the State of Play. Mostly because there wasn't much to talk about.
Well, that was what I was going to talk about. because I think you come with an expectation that at this point in time, the State of Plays are the only way they have spoken to consumers this year.
And they've been disappointing.
I want to say they might have had a press conference at the start of the year.
Maybe that's why they fired this guy.
How did they announce the PlayStation 5? Was it a press conference or was it a press release?
No, they had an event, I think.
Okay. So the last time they spoke to us was at the very start of this year. And so, like, if you're not talking to people, but you have these things, like, they have to be these huge updates. Like,
and has there been any word on PSX or something?
No,
year?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think. I mean, I would imagine by now you'd have to have been. I mean, I guess you don't because it's usually around the Game Awards.
It's like at a convention center or something.
Yeah,
you have to book it.
Yeah, there's been no word, and yeah, it would be 2 months from now. So like, yeah, like Iovalle is a great a good city, not great city. But yeah, I'm not going to go to LA on like a week's notice.
Right.
I need some heads up, book my tickets, book my hotel, stuff like that, you know, basic stuff people do when they travel, that you know, probably want to get word out on. Yeah. Pack my trunk of clothes. So yeah, that's what I was saying. Like the State of Plays have been the only way they've communicated. They're not at E3. I mean, I think they were at Tokyo Game Show. A bit. I don't think they had a stage one, though. Even going further back, like the last time they've actually communicated with people in a big, grand way, I want to say it was the Paris Game Show last summer. Because they didn't have PlayStation Experience last year. And there's nothing in between that. They weren't at GamesCon.
Nope.
I don't think they did Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, they've been quiet for a while. So you might be right, Tony. Maybe that's why there's been a shakeup and he's
right.
gone.
Their marketing has been so poor. Or whatever he was working on, there just hasn't been enough.
Right. But I mean, like, I think even like diehard Sony fans too would say that like their output this year has been phenomenally weak.
Days Gone, Game of the Year 2020.
And I like Days Gone, but it did not light the world on fire. And then what's their next game? Like Medieval?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess. I forgot there's a demo of that. I should play that for next week. But yeah, it's not been a great year. And again, I know it's a transitional period, and it's just weird because like even the transition, I mean from the transition I remember from PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, Sony was never this quiet. Like you think about the fact that like, the Last of Us, the original Last of Us was a transitional game in the sense that it came out within a year of the PlayStation 4 launch and then it was remastered soon after.
Right.
And then you look at the fact that like even something like God of War 2 was near the launch of the PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, I mean, the equivalent of that is Medieval, to your point. Like, that's it. It's Medieval.
Like, I guess we do have The Last of Us 2 in February, which will be...
assume it will be multi-platform. But I guess I don't think of that in the same way, just because it's a sequel to a known quantity.
Right. There's no. I mean, well, God of War 2 was a sequel.
Yeah.
But. There's. I don't know. Microsoft too to this, like it hasn't been a great, and this is one of Jeff's big complaints, I think, for the generation, is that there hasn't been a ton of like new stuff.
No, and I think it was something I used to complain about on my old show. It's because essentially what happened is you have this really cynical and circular drain where like each year developers would focus more and more on these big AAA titles that either had to hit it out of the park or they go out of business. So they put all their eggs in that cart, which meant that a lot of those smaller games kept on falling off and off and off until you pretty much narrowed it down to stuff that's going to sell well and nothing else. Like we talked about at the very start of the year with Activision. Activision released Anthem. No, Anthem's EA.
EA.
What has Activision released this year?
Crash Racing.
So, port.
Crash Team Racing, yep.
Then they have Call of Duty.
Yep.
EA had Anthem. Mm-hmm. And
their sports games.
The sports and Apex Legends.
Right. Which right before Anthem.
Yes.
And Star Wars. They do have Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, yeah. Jedi Fallen Order.
So they're a little more productive than Activision.
But and then even Ubisoft, there's not an Assassin's Creed game this year, right?
No Assassin's Creed game.
So they have Ghost Recon.
And they had Far Cry New Dawn. Whatever that Far Cry 5 spinoff was.
And then they have Just Dance. Yes. I honestly don't know what THQ had this year that was new.
I don't know. But was Darksiders 3 this year? Or was that last year?
December last year.
Last year, yeah. But it was late. It was either late last year or early this year, so.
Somebody at Capcom started off the year hot. Resident Evil 2 remake, a Devil May Cry 5. Waiting. DLC expansion for Monster Hunter World.
Right, yeah.
And that's kind of been their year.
It's weird. It's like these AAA developers are devoid because exactly what you said, like they're only releasing stuff that they know is going to sell.
Yeah. Like, and then
out of three, you cowards.
I did not hear what you said.
I said, give me Viva Pinata 3.
Jeff, what happened to your headset? I thought you were getting a headset.
You know what? My mic was turned away.
That helps.
Jeff, they can't do a Viva Pinata 3 because they're making cosmetics for the pirate ships.
God. It's too bad how that turned out.
Well, for them, it turned out great. It's a huge hit for them. Just we did not like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so fascinating to see, and because the problem is, and kind of movies kind of feel the same way too at times. You have the top, you have the bottom, and nothing in between. That's really what's been missing. Is like, I like indie games. Like way titles, it's those weird kind of experiments that I get budgets, but not like huge budgets that used to exist in between.
Yeah,
you know, I've spoken. I don't know if I've spoken of it on this show, but stuff like I used to like Brings in the Curse Mummy is a game I loved. Yeah. The Bourne Conspiracy, John Woo Stranglehold, which is like an Xbox 360 launch title near there. Stuff like The Condemned. My other Alpha Protocol. Like those were games that like aren't like AAA titles, but they're definitely not indie games, and we don't have a lot of that anymore.
This is true. Well, I think that's it for this week.
Super exciting talk.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're gonna have next week. As Earl said, there is stuff coming out. We're maybe not super excited about it, but there's stuff out there, and we might play some of it. So.
maybe.
I won't play anything. So.
No, Tony's not going to play shit. So
I mean, there's stuff coming, but I don't know if there's anything coming before next week for me personally.
I mean, I might play, you know, poker or roulette, but not, you know.
we can get your review of the roulette table.
Roulette table at the Cosmopolitan. I'm on it.
Well, you know. My hope is to actually get some hands-on time with some stuff at New York Comic Con. The only thing I have, I think, set enough appointments for is Arcade 1-Up. So, like, those...
Tell me about the Star Wars one.
So I want to try to get some hands-on time for that. Capcom's here with that new Resident Evil game. So I'm going to see if I can try to play that. But Capcom booths are always so crowded just because, like, there's very few video game companies that still go here. And then there's a VR Walking Dead game that I'm going to see if that's playable. I can't imagine it's good, but I want to see if it's playable.
Hey, well, we will be here to listen to all of that next week and get your take on New York City Comic Con, which Pete is also at. So we're probably not going to hear from him next week, but... If we do,
we'll be back in.
Yeah.
Diamonds Are Forever.
Yes. I may play that 2D side scroller.
Tembo?
So maybe Tembo. Tembo. T-E-M-B-O?
I think so.
I don't know. The Badass Elephant. Might play that. Who knows?
I think we should also. All right. We should also download the Medieval demo. The Sony made it available.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should play that before I actually spend
Yeah.
That's another thing I do miss. I really wish more games had demos. If nothing else, this is something to talk about.
Yeah.
Though that does remind me, I was so happy that Contra came out and everybody else hated it as much as I did. So.
Yeah, I did not get good reviews.
I'm happy I was not just like... not a fan. It's like nobody else liked that either.
I watched the Jim Sterling his quick take on it. Oh my god, yeah. It was fucking hysterical. Just like watching it too. It looks terrible. Like, I don't know. It didn't look like Contra either, so.
No.
Lame.
Yeah, maybe I'll try out that Call of Duty Mobile. That's out there.
Oh yeah, that's out this week.
Yes, maybe I'll download that, give it one whirl and move on.
I still need to try that Mario Kart one too.
Yeah. Maybe you don't want to try that.
I'm still curious because of how people talk about it that I have to.
Yeah, I understand. Yep. But like I tried it like after being warned, like that it is exactly what it is, and I needed to see it for myself. All right, we will be back next week. Tony, enjoy Las Vegas. Earl, enjoy New York City Comic Con.
Woo!
Jeff, enjoy delivering mail until the moon.
Thank you.
Say goodnight.
Goodnight.